Suns, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Our starting line on the Sunny Side of Sports is African athletics. This pandemic year of 2020 has been a record-breaking one for Uganda's world champion runner Joshua Cheptegei. In February, Joshua set a 5-kilometer road race world record in Monaco. In August, Cheptegei returned to Monaco and broke Ethiopian star Kenenisa Bekele's 5,000 meters world record on the track. And earlier this week, on Wednesday, Cheptegei broke Bekele's 10,000 meters world record in Valencia, Spain. Ugandans are celebrating Cheptegei's record-breaking heroics on this Friday, which is the country's 58th Independence Day anniversary. In fact, as we hear now from Magume Davis Rakawinge in Kampala, sports officials are describing Joshua Cheptegei's victory in Valencia as an Independence Day gift for Uganda. Sporty greetings, Magume!
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny, and our listeners. The Ugandan runner, Joshua Cheptegei, is the talk of town here in Kampala and the whole country after breaking the 10,000 meters record. Cheptegei broke Ethiopia's Kenenisa Bekele's mark after he finished in 26 minutes, 11 seconds in Valencia this Wednesday. Ronald Sebuhinja watched Cheptegei's heroics live via YouTube channel.
When I saw him cross the line, I was extremely ecstatic. At some point, I was actually worried because the seconds seemed to be speeding by so fast, and I started thinking he probably would make it with just a second or so to spare. But when he smashed the record with, you know, that margin, it was extremely exciting.
Another fan, Peter Makumbi, shared the same feelings.
I thought the guys the last, and I was like, this guy is not serious. He would be the first one on the run, and he's making himself the number 5 in the group. Then up to like 3,000, when one got out, then they remained 3. They reached 5,000, another one got out, then they remained 2. His pace lowered, and then his speed still reduced, but then up to when they said one lap remaining, and then I was like, yeah, this guy is really going to make it up.
Indeed, Cheptegei ran his fastest to break the world record, the excitement of his fans all over the world, including Shanti Husna, who was also watching from Kampala.
And I'm very, very proud of Joshua. I'm not only celebrating him as an East African or Ugandan, but as an African, because this shows so much and it tells so much about us Africans. Because I can imagine him doing this in this season and this period of pandemic, whereby he's not been rehearsing, and I know everybody has been indoors for like a period of time. That means he didn't rehearse for so long, but then he managed to make us proud. He managed to pull this off.
Politician and sports reporter Sharon Adong agrees. She says the win will inspire other young athletes across Uganda and the entire African continent.
I'm very, very excited and very proud of his achievement. 2020 has been a very good year for him, and to the young people at that age of 24 years old, achieving 4 gold medals in the series of only 2 years is not quite something that an ordinary athlete has achieved it in Uganda.
Last year, Cheptegei won 10,000 meters race at the World Championship in Doha and has gone ahead to win numerous races, including the Monaco Diamond League this year. Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni also applauded Cheptegei. He tweeted, "Congratulations, Cheptegei, for setting a new 10,000 meters world record in Valencia. Uganda is proud of you as you continue to hoist our flag high." End of quote. Dominique Otuchet is the president of Uganda Athletics Federation. He describes Cheptegei's triumph as a special gift.
It was indeed a race, very beautiful to behold. A race to remember for a lifetime. We were so excited, and the country is still in celebrations. This victory, this world record setting by Joshua Cheptegei is also indeed a beautiful independence gift to our country, because it only came 2 days before our 58th independence celebration.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. I really enjoyed your report, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. Elsewhere in African athletics, Ghana's 800 meters Olympian, Alex Amankwa, took a break from his training to chat once again with Dan Friedel here in the Washington area. Here's Dan.
We're joined now on the Sunny Side of Sports by Ghanaian 800-meter runner Alex Amankwa. Alex, we talked a little bit last time you were on the show about what the 2020 season was going to be like for you. What was it like for you to see the summer come and go after you found out that the Olympics weren't going to happen this year?
When I realized the Olympics weren't going to happen, I was pretty devastated. I was looking forward to it. As some of you may know, I ran in the last Olympics in 2016, and I didn't run particularly well, but I wanted to redeem myself and see that I and show myself that I belong in that stage and I can perform well. So it was definitely hurt to be able to not, you know, be able to compete in the Olympics. But I did learn a lot throughout the year. So, you know, I just try to make the most out of every situation and use, you know, all these trials that everybody's going through as an opportunity to just improve and be better. Even if it's like little tiny things that I might need to just work on, it was really a good learning experience to just focus on the little things.
I'm Dan Friedel, and we're talking with Alex Amankwa, a Ghanaian 800-meter runner who lives and trains in Arlington, Virginia, just across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C. Alex and I were talking before we started this conversation about his development as a runner and what he does to stay in shape and, you know, how his weight and his strength might fluctuate up and down depending on what part of his season he's been in. So I imagine that as you were going through the 2019-2020 winter, you had some goals for yourself as far as numbers on the track or pounds of weight that you were going to lift or certain steps in your conditioning process to get ready for your meets and your qualifying events. How did you have to kind of hit the reset button when you found out that the Olympics weren't going to happen so that you didn't really burn yourself out going into now the 2021 winter?
That's a great question, man, because just resetting myself took a lot of focus and energy. Just to kind of give you a backstory, me and my teammates, we went to training camp in Florida in IMG Academy. We were there. Everybody was training really hard, working really hard to improve and get better. And I thought I was in phenomenal shape. I think everybody in our team felt like we were going to step on the track and run something crazy. We had a race a week after we would leave IMG Academy. And we're, you know, following the, you know, COVID and everything. And it just kind of just blew up so fast. Nobody realized how fast it was coming. You hear the NBA's canceled, college basketball is canceled. You literally have sports playing telling athletes get off the court and fans go home. So when we realized, like, hey, the season isn't happening, the Olympics aren't happening, we had to just completely stop everything and go back to square one. And square one was basically us training like fall, training like what we would do in the beginning of the year, just racking up miles, getting back in the weight room and just kind of holding off on peaking a little too early.
Over the last few months on the Sunny Side of Sports, we've talked with some athletes who weren't able to get into swimming pools or get into gyms to continue with their training. We were talking with a world champion triathlete, and she was doing workouts at her parents' house in Maryland, but wasn't able to really test herself against other elite athletes until just her competition started up again in the first part of the fall. How have you been able to measure yourself and maintain your progress without going either slipping back too much or getting ahead of yourself?
Maintaining the progress was very difficult. We had a few things we needed to adjust, and the tracks were closed, so we weren't able to actually run on tracks. So what we came up with, and my coach did an excellent job of this, we would find areas that we would map out that was either 400 meters, what would be similar to a track, and we would do repeat miles, repeat 800s, some 200s, or everything. We will like simulate that outside of the track. And I'm very thankful for Under Armour. They actually were able to send us some weights, you know, and we would lift outside of our house, or we'll find ways to be creative. Some of us were, you know, finding trees, and we'll climb the tree and do pull-ups, or just doing little circuits at home. And we, you know, a lot of us have experience with just, you know, working out, because, you know, we all grew up with, most of us went to college and have a lot of, you know, paperwork that has different workouts in there. We use some of that to kind of maintain our strength. And the last thing was just making sure, like, hey, like, it's going to work out. Just believing that it's going to work out. And our coach really drove that in our heads, and we believe that.
So now here we are, we're over 6 months, as you mentioned, since the NBA shut down in the middle of March and had to pivot to the bubble situation in Florida. Some of the other sports are back on track. Have you been able to compete at all in the last couple months, and judge where you are? Where are you?
As far as competition, I was able to compete. In the beginning, we were only allowed to do time trials with our teammates. So we'll set it up, we'll have a timer, but we were only able to race each other. And it was also kind of difficult because our practices had to be cut down in half with them, as far as people in the work and that we're training with. So usually we'll have a group of six. Now you're only two people, and training would be almost a full day. And after, you know, a couple months of that, we were able to race other athletes. But we took very, you know, serious measures and procedures, getting two COVID tests the same week. We would have to take COVID tests afterwards, making sure that, you know, we're not going out, not partying. If we do decide to go eat, either you take it to go or outside seating. So we were just very cautious about that, just because we knew how serious this virus was, and we didn't want to let it affect, you know, not just us, but, you know, possibly, you know, somebody we care about, or just somebody who is more prone to the virus.
We're joined now on the Sunny Side of Sports by Ghanaian 800 meter Olympian Alex Amankwa. Alex, I was wondering where you are at this point. Here we are, where if you want to think about whether the Olympics are going to go forward in 2021, less than a year away. Are you just kind of keeping the mindset that you might have been in this time last year as far as your preparation goes? Is it a little bit draining mentally to think about having to kind of restart the engine for another Olympic push? Where do you stand at this point looking forward to the summer of 2021?
Looking forward to the summer 2021 is going to be difficult because, frankly, nobody knows what's going to happen. You know, I've talked to my coaches. We, you know, sit and chat about what the 2021 season can look like. And we don't even know if we're going to be able to race, let alone if the Olympics are going to happen. But regardless, we have to be prepared. So outside of everything that I can't control, or my coach or anybody, we can't control what this virus is going to look like, or if the Olympics are going to happen. But what we can control is being prepared. So as far as the season goes, where, you know, we're still training, we're still working hard, we're still doing all the things that we need to do for that moment when it's like, hey, it's going to happen, you know. So we're just being prepared.
So, Alex, before we started this conversation, we talked a little bit about the two-time Kenyan gold medalist in your event, David Rudisha, and what he's meant to you as somebody to look up to, and the fact that he has been dealing with some injuries lately. His most recent injury was a fracture in his ankle that he just had surgery for. And you said that you actually got a chance to meet him once. What was your interaction with David Rudisha like, the Kenyan 800-meter runner?
It's actually a funny story. David Rudisha was one of the first athletes I've ever looked at and I was like at awe at how amazing he was, because the way he runs, the way he carries himself, I loved everything about it. When my first time running in the Olympics, I remember just being really nervous. And before you go to race, they take you in a shuttle, and the shuttle has like everybody who you're going to be racing against. And I remember sitting down in the shuttle. My hands are shaking, my leg. I was just so nervous. Like, I can't believe I'm about to run in the Olympics. Like, this is the biggest stage ever. And my head is down. And I remember somebody came and sat next to me. And I look up and I see it's David Rudisha. And I'm just right out of college, nervous. And like, the person I idolize is looking next to me. And for some reason, I was like, all right, I have to like pretend like I'm not intimidated. I have to like make sure that, you know, like I'm not afraid to go up against him, which I wasn't, because you know I'm up for the challenge. So I try to open my legs as wide as I can to make him feel uncomfortable, hoping that like it would, you know, deter him a little bit. Obviously it didn't work because he won the Olympics that year, but it was still amazing to watch him and to, you know, say that, you know, I was a part of the Olympics that he was a part of. And he's just an incredible runner. I love everything about him.
So what's your sense of what the 800 meters will be like next year if he's not able to compete? I mean, obviously a great competitor will do everything he can to get back on the track if the Olympics do indeed run in 2021. What would it be like either to see him win another championship or to have the Olympics go without such a decorated champion there?
The Olympics without David Rudisha is definitely going to be a hit. It's going to be difficult because he's done so much for the sport and he's been so dominant, in the past two Olympics. But you know, with that being said, I think there's other athletes who are still pushing themselves to be at his level or close to his level. And, as much respect as I have for him, I always compete to win. And I think every other competitor that's doing the same thing, regardless of who's out there, it could be Rudisha, you know, if it's a different event, Usain Bolt, whoever, they're going out there to win. Whether Rudisha is there or not, the goal is still the same, to go out there and win.
So we're talking with Alex Amonkwa here, just outside of a coffee shop in Arlington, Virginia, across the river from Washington, D.C. Alex, we know it's been a tough year in 2020, but we wish you lots of success as you get going for 2021, and we hope to get a chance to check in with you again sometime soon on the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It was a pleasure. And if I can leave with anything, just everybody stay focused. And I know times are really difficult, but keep pushing. Use this opportunity to be a better person and grow. And, you know, just make the most out of everything. I know times are tough, but stick with it, guys.
That's Alex Amonkwa, Ghana's 800 meters Olympian. And Alex was talking with Dan Friedel here in the Washington area. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week, right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. In pro basketball, the Miami Heat faces a must-win situation later Friday night in Florida.
The Heat trails the Los Angeles Lakers 3-1 in the NBA Finals. The AP's Dave Ferry has this preview for us.
The Heat are playing an elimination game for the first time this postseason, although it's not a situation they desire. Down 3-1 against the Lakers, head coach Eric Spoelstra's team has no margin for error.
This is everything that we wanted this year, is an opportunity to fight for it, compete for a title, and that hasn't changed at all.
Jimmy Butler says he's not approaching this game any differently than any other, knowing that there's just one goal in mind on Friday.
I don't think it's pressure. I think it's just win. Anybody think about going home over here? It's just win, so there is no pressure. We're expected to win. That's our job.
Just one team has won a final series after trailing 3-1. That was in 2016 when LeBron James led the Cavaliers to a comeback against the Warriors. As LeBron James approaches his fourth NBA championship, there's the usual talk about his legacy in the game. James wants nothing to do with that discussion.
I don't live my life thinking about legacy. What I do off the floor is what means more to me. What I do on the floor.
James said Thursday he's more concerned with his accomplishments off the court and his humanitarian legacy.
How I move, how I walk, what I preach, what I talk about, how I inspire the next generation is what matters to me the most.
James has tackled racial injustice and campaigned for wider voting options, all while guiding the Lakers during their 3-month stay in the bubble. On Friday, he'll focus on leading the Lakers to their first championship in a decade. I'm Dave Ferry.
Yo, 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 for the greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigers Nigerian Women's National Team and Flams Carollo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19. Thank you so much.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Finally, we began the show with Joshua Cheptegei, Uganda's record-breaking runner. And let's end the show with Joshua. Joshua has been outspoken during the coronavirus pandemic. He has urged athletes, officials, and fans all over the world to take precautions during these COVID-19 times. After setting the world record in Spain earlier this week, Joshua had this to say.
You know, we live in a difficult situation now with COVID, but this event can still give us joy. Can still give us hope for tomorrow, knowing that we need to take precautions to defeat the virus. We need to be careful. We don't need to be reckless again. And for sure, the world will return back to normal. It will not be any soon because most of the people are not following the precautions and the SOP. So we need to tell them again that we want to get back to normal. And the best way we can do that is when all of us get concerned about coming back to normal.
That's Uganda's world champion runner Joshua Cheptegei speaking after breaking the 10,000 meters world record earlier this week in Valencia, Spain. And as Uganda celebrates its 58th Independence Day anniversary, let me wish a happy Independence Day to all our Voice of America listeners in Uganda. And that wraps up the October 9th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation of the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC. VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to Ndombolo and Makossa to Kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.